Our text for this morning is Exodus 20 verse 12, but I would like you also to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we will read the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There ends the reading of God's sacred word, and may he really bless his word to us this morning. The times that we live in is characterized by the loss of recognition of all authority figures, most authority figures. And in the United States, the cause or the root of this breakdown in respect for authority has been identified as the 60s, the hippie generation, which was anti-establishment, anti-parents, anti-government, anti-war, and the only thing that it wasn't anti was smoking pot and free love. Make love, not war, was the slogan. And one writer by the name of Annie Gottlieb says, we may not have been able to tear down the state, but the family was closer. The first step was to tear ourselves free from our parents. The way to destroy a nation is to destroy the family. And the way children can destroy the family is by disobeying their parents. Now, that's the generation that is governing the United States now. All the old hippies have made it through college. And they are now the politicians. A lot of them are ex, including Bill Clinton, are ex-hippies. And the corrupt set of values that they brought with them can be seen in the United States today. Anti-family, gay marriage, gay toleration. And that all that goes together with, get the Ten Commandments out of the courts. Get every vestige of Christian expression out of our society. Now, very much the same is happening in our country. Just about on every level, you see a disrespect for authority. Parents, government, school. There's protest, there's violence, and utter disrespect for law enforcement. There isn't a day that goes by in which the president of this country isn't foul-mouthed. Whether he deserves it or not, that's not the issue. There's open ridicule of the government. slowly but surely, more and more mass action is taking place. Now, where does this all come from? I think today we will find out. So far we've looked at the Ten Commandments, we've looked at the first table of the law, which is the first four commandments. Love the Lord your God only. You will have no other God. You will not make for yourself a carved image. You will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and you will honor his day. That is the God-directed dimension of the Ten Commandments, the first table. It's our relationship towards God. And remember, our obedience is not a matter of earning our obedience by listening and obeying the Ten Commandments. That's not the issue. I said over and over, we cannot obey the Ten Commandments. It's no point. A lot of people think they do. And I think they're doing pretty well at it. But I'm talking to you, I'm not talking to them. But now we reach the second table of the Ten Commandments. And that relates to our neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. And to distill it further, the commandment can be summarized in one word, love. Love for God, love for your neighbor. And where does it start? It starts at home. You know, the saying goes, charity begins at home. But if you don't love God, there's no point. You won't be able to love your neighbor. And so it's the love for God where it all begins. Heartfelt love for God as expressed in obedience to Him. So the worship of God is the foundation of our righteousness. And the second table begins with love in the home. That's where it begins. So the fifth commandment stands at a very crucial place in the Ten Commandments. And the basic principle is, if you can't get along with those in your home, how are you going to get along with anybody else? It's impossible. If you love God, you must love your neighbor, and that means relationships first and foremost in the home must be right. You see, young people, you need to learn certain things in the home that's going to carry you into life. And if you don't learn certain things in your home, it's going to make it very difficult when you proceed into mature adulthood. Augustine said, If you don't honor your parents, and this is where it all starts. The fifth commandment starts with honoring your parents. If you don't do that, Augustine says, is there anyone he will spare? The parent-child relationship and how that develops is the starting point for the rest of your life and how you will conduct your relationships further in life. That's where society starts. And if it doesn't start there, expect it to fall apart, as we are seeing today. God meant the family to be our first hospital, our first school, our first government, our first church. If we do not respect authority at home, we will respect authority nowhere else. Let's have a look then at Exodus chapter 12. Honor your father and your mother. Now this word, honor, in Hebrew it's kaboth, and it means heavy or weighty. And it's the word that is used for God's glory. The majesty of God is weighty, it's heavy. And the same word is used here for your parents. Regard your parents with a weighty regard. They have weight in my sight. They are honorable, and I honor them as such. Not only in the home, but all over. I fear we live in times where it's uncool to speak well of your parents. And parents are not regarded as weighty, but rather very, very lightly, to the point where they are ignored. The cover of one teenage magazine for teenage girls asked, "Do you really hate your parents?" Like who doesn't? And the Bible has a lot to say about this kind of attitude. If anyone curses his father or his mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Solomon in Proverbs says, "Those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures." Pretty tough words. But that's the emphasis that the Bible places on the relationship between parents and their children. Now, we don't stone our children for disobedience. And yet the Bible does instruct us to not spare the rod. And with discernment, not anger, with discernment to discipline them as necessary. But Paul tells us that in these last days will be perilous times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, boastful, abusive, disobedient to their parents. It's the mark of the last days. And those are the days that we are living in. So the Bible places children an emphasis, a heavy emphasis on obedience to your parents in the home. And it says, both parents, honor your father and your mother. "Well, Dad, I can tolerate, but Mom's a softie, I'll do with her as I please." Well, we see that happening, don't we? Mom's a pushover, but Dad's not that easy. Now, the father is the spiritual head of the home. The Bible teaches that. That's his responsibility to take the spiritual lead in the home. But that doesn't mean that the mother has no function. The mother has an equal function, because it says, here, your father and your mother. Proverbs, again, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Mothers, you are responsible as well. Leviticus even puts the mother first, 19:3. Each of you must respect his mother and father. Now, those that would say these days that the Bible's patriarchal, it's anti-women's rights and all things like that, but it's written here by the finger of God that the woman has equal responsibility in the home in the instruction of the children. Now, the parents might think, well, Johnny, you hear what he's saying? The pastor says you better listen to me from now on. But I speak to the parents as well. That's why I read Ephesians 6 verse 4. If we are going to be respected by our children, if we are going to be honored by them, then we jolly well better make sure that we are deserving of that honor. Far too often when it comes to the Christian faith, it's a matter of doing as I say or else, coming to church or else. And I've got nothing against parents instructing their children to come to church. I've got no problem with that. But it's the way in which you do it. And Paul is very specific when he takes aim at us. Do not provoke your children to anger or to wrath. Well, that little phrase gives you an inkling as to what's going on. You are making your child angry. Why? Probably by your own anger, because anger begets anger. By your own inconsistency. Today, Johnny's a good boy. Tomorrow, he's getting a thrashing. He doesn't quite know where he stands with you anymore. Today, Mary's an angel. Tomorrow, she's a demon. And this inconsistency provokes in the children a rebellion and an anger. The father. And look, I myself am a father. I know what I'm talking about. Volatile, impulsive, unpredictable, provoked. And this, we don't quite know where we stand with Dad today. So fathers, I appeal to you to take note. If you want your children to honor you, do, as Matthew Henry says, do not abuse your power. Remember that your children are in a particular way a part of you. They ought to be governed with tenderness and love, not with impatience, nor being unreasonable, severe, and laying on them rigid injunctions. When you caution them, counsel them, when you reprove them, do it in such a manner as not to provoke them to wrath. In all such cases, deal prudently and wisely with them, endeavoring to convince their judgments and work upon their reason. Hey, come here, boy. This is what you're going to do. Why, Dad? Because I say so. That's not what he's saying. You reason with him. My son, I'm going to have to discipline you today. Why, Dad? Because, according to the Word of God, this is what you have done. you've broken God's command. And you know, the Lord has placed me in authority over you. And I really have to deal with this. Well, now he knows. And you do it with measured, in a measured way, not in anger. Why do you do this? Because you want to draw your children to the Savior. And that's the way the Savior deals with us. He reasons with you. He corrects you. He says, no, this way, not that way. And at times, he chastens you. Yes, but you know you've deserved it. It's the manner in which you raise your child in the home with the overriding purpose of bringing your children to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way you do that is going to either draw your child to the Lord or drive him away once and for all. Like it or not. How can a child love a heavenly father when he has a devil as an earthly father? But then the child comes and says, but you don't know my parents. You reckon? I do. I know myself. You don't know what big problems I've got. Really? I'm at least three times your age. You think I haven't learned a few things in life? You don't think that I was your age? You don't think that I went through exactly the same rebellion as you did? You don't think that? So that is the command. Children, obey, honor your parents, regard them as weighty and worthy of respect. And parents, earn that respect. But then it goes on. And the Apostle Paul says in the second place, this is a command that comes with a promise. So that, honor your parents, so that you may live in the land, live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, it's not easy obeying your parents at times. That's not easy. It's a difficult thing. The Lord knows that. He knows it far more than you. That's why he holds before you a promise. That if you do this, your life in the land will be long and fruitful. There are plenty of reasons why we ought to honor our kids, at least honor our parents. They've sacrificed a lot for you. You may not think it, but they have. Parents here, I know, have sacrificed a lot for their children. Parents are older and wiser and able to instruct you, to give you, and to give you guidance and wisdom for life. But God also requires it. Children, obey your parents, Colossians 3 says. For this is pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. He doesn't give a list of reasons. The Lord simply says, I regard this as right. Finish and club. But here the Lord says, obey your parents and I will reward you. Who doesn't like a reward, eh? Now, son, if you clean the car and you do a good job, I'll give you $50. He gets stuck in and he does a good job of it. And so the Lord is dealing with us in this way. And Paul says, this is the first command with a promise. And you know, this particular command, this is a crowd of Israelites that have just come out of Egypt. They've been slaves in Egypt. They are entering into the land of promise. And the Lord says, you know what? If you want to experience a rich life and the favor of the Lord in the land into which I'm taking you, obey your parents. Obey your parents. Now, this doesn't mean that I obey my parents and I automatically am assured of a long life. We all know that some people from a human perspective are taken away in the prime of their lives. Kids that have always honored and loved their parents, and yet they are taken away. And we think it's so untimely, but there's no untimely event in the Lord's plan. Everything according to Him happens at the right time and according to His purpose. But the principle stands that if you obey your parents, your life will be long and fruitful, as Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6. This is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you, that it may go well with you, and live long in the land. You see, it's not just a question of quantitative life, so many years, I'm going to get old. It's also qualitative life. The life that God gives you will be rich and abundant. I'm not talking about cash in the bank. I'm talking about God's favor upon you. And there is nothing greater than that. And that's what Paul says. This, children, is what waits for you. That's the promise. Hey, I've got difficult parents. That's the promise. Do you think you're going to go out into life and have an easy boss? Maybe that you go out into life and bless your father and your mother for being the way they were with you. Because now at least I know how to deal with this heel of a boss of mine. Where did you learn that? You learned that at home. But does this commandment, thirdly, only apply to the family, to the home? No, it applies to all authorities or authority structures that God has placed in society. There are various authority structures, God ordained, in which we as Christians are to submit. You've got the principle, you've got the precept laid down here. But as with all of the other commandments, you will see that there are various principles that arise out of the one commandment. The larger catechism of the Westminster Confession says that under one sin or duty, all of the same kind are forbidden or commanded, together with all the causes, means, occasions, and appearances thereof, and provocations thereunto. So, out of one commandment, there appears many, many applications. And this is the case here. And we're going to see that especially in the second table. Do not murder. You'll be surprised what all is included under murder. But the principle here, in honoring your parents, you learn to honor those who in other areas in life have been placed in legitimate positions of authority. For example, the government. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to the government or the authority instituted among men. Fear God, honor the king. Submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Romans 13. The Christian, as I've said in our sermons on Romans, the Christian is to be a respectable citizen and one who demonstrates obedience to the governing authorities. It's not a conditional thing. Well, as long as he learns me, when he starts to learn to govern properly, then I'll listen to him. No, no. It has been ordained of God. And you see, folks, I heard an answer to a question. A black fellow who asked John MacArthur, how do you interpret this whole Charlottesville thing that happened in North or South Carolina? But in one of the Carolinas. And his answer was very interesting because it applies to us very much. I said at the beginning, there is a rolling mass action that is taking root in our country that is threatening the governability of our country. The age-old philosophical question of the one and the many. You've got polar opposites, each one mutually inclusive. You can't have the one without the many. You can't have the many without the one. When the one starts failing, the many start prevailing. The one is weak, the many become strong. And this is the scale is tipping towards the many, and this is happening in America with Trump. And MacArthur said, expect it to get a lot worse. Because the one is failing and the many are beginning to prevail. What's the cause? Number one, he says, it's got nothing to do with racism. It's got nothing to do with politics. But what we see here is an outburst of what the human being has in his heart. This is an outburst of sin. The evil heart of man manifesting itself and hiding behind political labels. The white man, the black man, the government, Zuma, whatever. But it's the heart of sin that is beginning to take over. And this is what we are seeing. Why? Number one. The conscience of man is becoming seared. Paul speaks of that in Ephesians 4. Their consciences are hard. It's like marble. And the conscience is that inner warning system that tells you, this is right, this is wrong. But if you no longer have an inner compass, an inner warning system that is telling you, hey, what you're doing is wrong, well, you expect things to get a lot worse. And so the conscience of humankind is being hardened to the point where there's no recognition of morality. Number two, the breakup of the family. Number three, the complete disregard for law enforcement. The cops are getting the brunt of it. The police are being killed. It's happening here. They call it a white minority capital, and they protest, but they destroy shops, they destroy, they burn, they do everything. This is mankind. It's not only happening here, it's happening in America. It's happening in France, it's happening in Europe. You see why we have to pray for our government. Oh, I'm going to vote for another party. That's not going to help much. Our duty as a church is to pray for them. Because this is what is happening. What's more, you listen to the radios. Political commentators say, it's time that the people on the streets stand up and protest against Zuma. That's shocking. This open rebellion is even finding its way into the media, and this is reaching people's ears. The fifth commandment regulates our relationships at work. Honor your employer. Slaves, obey your masters. Now, slave, employee, your master, employer. Respect him. Work for your boss. Don't foul-mouth him. Hey, but that's impossible. You know, he's such a terrible person. I can't but foul-mouth him. David. He had the opportunity. It was within his reach to kill Saul. And he said, far be it from me that I kill the Lord's anointed. Saul, who was hounding him to death. Relationships in the church. Respect your elders. Respect those who have been placed in leadership roles over you. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. Obey your leaders, Hebrews 13, and submit to them. They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that is no advantage to you. John Calvin says we should look up to those in terms of all of these relationships. Look up to those whom God has placed over us and treat them with honor, obedience, and gratefulness, even when they do not seem to earn our respect. Go back all the way to the home. I don't respect my parents. Well, you are going to show no respect for anybody else in this life. When does the command end? This is the fourth point, which I didn't add to the outline. The continuity of the command. When do I now finally come to an end of this responsibility? When I move out, maybe even escape, do I then lose this responsibility of mine? Whew, at least I'm rid of that crowd. I'm on my own. I'm free. Children, don't ever believe that lie. It's lifelong. Do you want to have the abundant life, the life of God's blessing? The point is reached where you have to start taking care of your parents, who took care of you. I've met a lot of old people. Some people are, they don't seem to die. They're heading off into their 90s already. But you look at the family structure, and you see how the children take care of them. And the children then end up getting even older. And you can witness in these families, God's, they're not the richest people around, but they have a blessed home. You walk into the home and you know the Lord dwells here because a family is functioning as it should. There's no greater blessing on earth because this is the core building block of our society. You disrespect your parents, youngsters. Your own kids are going to disrespect you, I guarantee you that. You know, but sadly in this day we palm our parents off onto the old age home and we just get rid of them. You know, mom's getting to be a bit of a nuisance. I don't like the idea of looking after her anymore. She makes a mess and even consider euthanasia with a doctor. I mean, this is happening in Europe. Listen, mom is really getting a bit of a problem, doctor. Oh, yes, I know exactly what you mean. Let's take care of this. Just get rid of your responsibility. You know, the Pharisees did that. In Jesus' day. Oh, sorry, mom and dad. The money that I would have given to you, you know, I've had to give it to the church. It's korban. It's dedicated to the church. So, sorry, this month I haven't got any cash for you. Sounds very pious, doesn't it? You hide your hypocrisy with a half-truth. The Bible says you do both. You don't sideline one commandment of God in order to keep another one. You keep both commandments. You tithe to the Lord and you look after your parents. But don't make excuses and hide behind this wall of piety. That's exactly what they did. Well, let's have a marathon on the Lord's Day and collect money for Bible distribution. I had a bit of a Barney on the one website, Barney on the Reformed Churches of South Africa, that I was involved in, and I decided never to do it again. Because I addressed this issue. I said, this is called Barn. You break one commandment in order to support missions. Man, what a response I got. Honor your parents. Don't make excuses. And that in turn brings upon you, even as an adult, the blessing of long life and the blessed life. As I close, one man complained, youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, talk nonsense where they should work, love people, do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room, Leviticus says, show respect for the elder, revere your God, rise in the presence of the aged. Well, this fellow says they don't even do that anymore. When you walk into the room, they don't even get up. Hey, Pops, I'd like to give you my seat, but I'm quite comfortable here where I am. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, guzzle their food, lay their legs on the table, and tyrannize their elders. Who's this? It's Socrates, 400 BC. Nothing changes. Especially the one putting your feet up on the furniture. But we are called to examine ourselves this morning. How do you relate to your parents? How do you relate to them? Back chat? You ever lie to them? Yell at them? Steal from them? Speak evil of them in your hearts? God sees this. He takes note of it. Love them and listen to them. Who's not guilty around here? I hope not one of you sticks up your hand. Because we're all guilty. Our obedience in whatever authority structure the Lord has placed us, our obedience is imperfect. Sometimes it even borders on abominable. And yet in the fifth commandment, the Lord comes to you and he says, I expect from you perfect obedience. And it is for this that Christ died. This disrespect to your parents, disrespect to your employer, disrespect to the government. It was for this that he died. That's not all. He lived a life. Children, Christ our Lord was also a child in his day. And the Bible says that as he was growing up, they went to Jerusalem. And remember, he got lost there and he was reasoning with the experts of the day, and they were all astonished at what he was saying. He was busy doing his father's business in obedience to his father. And Mary and Joseph found him. They rebuked him. And then in Luke 2:51, he went down with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. The Son of God was obedient to his parents. You don't know much of his life as a boy. That's all. And that's all the Bible says, and that's all it needs to say, that Jesus, the Son of God, was obedient to his earthly parents. Throughout his life, even to the end. One of the last words he spoke from the cross was to John, the apostle, and to Mary, his mother. Woman, here's your son. And to the disciple whom he loved, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. He cared for his mother right to the point of his own death. We've got no excuse. Christ has done it all for us. Young people, he's done it for you. You have to look to him in faith. Obey them, Paul says, in the Lord. Ephesians 6. Outside of the Lord, you will fail. But in the Lord, your obedience will begin to show. And that is what God expects of each one of us. Whatever situation we are, whatever authority structure is chafing us, this is what the Lord requires. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we stand condemned once more, O Lord, in our imperfect obedience. And we pray thee, Lord Jesus, please to come to help us, to inhabit our hearts, to teach us how to walk in your ways, that perfect obedience, right to the end, to the point of death, obedient to your heavenly Father to the point of death, and obedient and caring for your parents, even here on earth. Oh Lord, what a Savior. And help us this day to look to you for help and for instruction. In Jesus' name, amen.